Turn our Bibles again to the book of Galatians, and I'd like to read again from the third chapter. It seemed to me I never could really get myself to bringing anything to a clear place last Wednesday night. And I wasn't feeling well. I don't make excuses. But then God bless us tonight. And I'm going to read from the 10th verse through the 18th verse of the third chapter. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Now that's everybody. As many as are of the works of the law. That's every Christian that don't see the grace of God. Are under the curse. Note that. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them, or by them, or whatever. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one. And to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. We think of the word justification now. I mentioned, I believe, last Wednesday night. I'm not sure, but I think I mentioned last Wednesday night. If I didn't, we have mentioned it quite often, that we can forgive someone who may do us wrong. But we can never justify what they did. You see, only God can do that. We can't justify anyone. They still are guilty in as far as the act, whatever it might have added up to, they're still as guilty of it as they did before, they ever were. But when God forgives, he don't just forgive, he justifies. You see, you become a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Now, this is something that the vast majority of God's precious people never seem to grasp, even many who will sit in a grace meeting and I heard a man this week. I was listening a little bit. I don't usually, because nothing worth listening. I get a little kind of nauseated spiritually when I hear them. But this man was teaching how you could be lost. And he spoke of that day when Christ will take your name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. What a tragedy. Jesus, in fact, said, "I won't blot your name from my book." That was said in connection with the Roman church in that day. You know that they claimed to have the power to take you out of the book of life. And they practice that if you commit what they call the unpardonable sin. And they'll remove your book or your name from their book. And there was that system at that time. And in the book of Revelation, you will find that God says of that particular group, "I will not blot your name out of my book." But I thought, how terrible this would be. The man, the only scripture that he came to was when Moses came down from the mountain and the children of Israel were worshiping a golden calf. And God was angry, and he got up, and the pillar of fire went outside of the camp, and Moses said, "Whoever is on the Lord's side, let him go to outside the camp." And then God told Moses he would take them and blot them out of the book, but that was not his book as we see it in the book of Revelation. That was a book of this particular life. You see, you have to recognize what the context adds up to when you study these things that can puzzle you. But remember, if that had been the book of life, then it contradicts everything that you read otherwise. Learn. If you don't understand something, leave it with God and pray, and God will make it real to you. And you see, these things come by revelation. But at any rate, this man went on and he said, now at the white throne, he's going to judge everybody. And if you haven't lived like you ought to live, he'll just take your name out of the book of life. Well, I'll tell you, precious hearts, long before, in the authority of God, whose names were in the book of life from before the foundation of the world. You see what God says. But this is justification. You see, like dear old Sister Miller used to sing, and she would get happy, and she'd say, "I'm brand new, I'm brand new." Well, when you come to Christ and truly take him as your personal Savior, you are a new creature in Christ. Now, you may be like Lot and live after the old creation, but justification, how do we get it? Do we get it by going through the law and keeping the law? No, the Bible makes it clear we become a new creature by faith and not by the law. In a rowboat, we have two oars, and I might illustrate it like this. We might call one of the oars fates and one works. As I got to thinking like this, why, Brother Jim Johnson, who is in heaven tonight, he and I were fishing up on the Wind River, and I think the river was as high as I have ever seen it. It was up in that street that went across down in Thermopolis. It was up so high, it was up in that street, not deep, but it was up there. But Paul makes it clear, the law and grace will not mix. You go to the book of Romans, and he'll, the sixth verse of the 11th chapter, and he said, if by grace it is no more works, and if by works it is no longer grace, otherwise work is no more work. You see, you're either saved by grace, or as far as the Bible is concerned, you're not saved. You cannot be saved by works. As I was studying, I thought of this, and Jim and I, that water was so high and swift, and so I had a little raft. And he got in one side with one oar, and I got in the other side with the other oar. And he began to just dig in, and we got out in the main current, and it was pretty swift. And you could feel a little uneasy, I suppose, if your trust wasn't in the Lord like it could be. But I said, Jim, we began to start to turn around. I said, Jim, you're pulling too hard. And I said, you're on the side you don't have to pull very hard. I'm the one that has to pull hard to keep it going straight across. He just dug in, and that boat began to spin around. And that was, we got down into the rapids. Just before we got there, Jim threw his oar in the river and said, jump, brother, he'll jump. And he jumped out, grabbed a hold of a rock, and of course, boots full of water, whatever. I said, here went my oar, and we need that oar to get back across the river. And so I speeded up a little bit and got where I could get the oar, and then I got down out of the rapids and pulled in. But the thing of it is, you might think of going to heaven with law and grace. Well, now, we're not going to heaven in a rowboat. So don't try to make it law and grace. You're saved by the grace of God. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. We're saved by grace through faith. And it's not of works, lest any man should boast. Now this is very clear. As you study in the Word of God, could that be true? And then turn around and go to the white throne judgment, and someone that's walked with God, well, it doesn't matter how long you walk with God. The moment you take Jesus Christ, and you may never understand it in this life, but the moment you take Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're as safe as you will be 1 million years in glory. You see, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes not holds out faithful, not don't drink, don't commit adultery, don't kill anybody or something of this nature, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So Paul tells us that in Romans 11, 6, you can't mix the two. And so as I was studying, I thought of old Jim, and God love him. He was very, very precious to my own heart. He was like, more like a son. But we're not going to heaven in a rowboat. We're going to go in the work and on the work that Jesus accomplished on that cross, where he cried, "It is finished." But through, you see, this comes through the infinite mercy and grace of God, who provided the one and the only way. That is, it is a gift, or the gift of God, and that was measured by the giving of his only begotten Son. And it's by grace through faith, and that faith is not of yourselves. It is the grace of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, why would it say all of that and then turn around and get you to the white throne and take your name out of the book of life if it were in there? And so Jesus said, "It's finished." So who am I trusting, him or me? I have to be trusting one of them. And I already proved myself untrustworthy a long, long time ago. And Adam, he's the one that made the choice for me anyway. And that is as to being safe in my own moral strength. So it is, I have to make up my mind, is it my strength, my faithfulness, my righteousness, my hopes in the old creation Adam, whose child I was? Or is it the life of Christ, the new creation? Never, never in the Bible are we instructed to put our trust in Adam. In fact, we're told that he is a broken reed. We're not to try to trust him. We're not to put our confidence in the flesh. Now, that don't mean this blood and whatever flesh. That isn't what it's talking about, though we know its limitation. You see, this flesh don't have to necessarily be sinful. It will yield to that fleshly nature. I probably ought to give some lessons on what the flesh is. But you see, dear hearts, I have known many who pray. They read the Bible. I remember one old gentleman, in fact, years ago when I was first saved. He was very moral. He attended a hard shell Baptist church. He was one of their deacons, and he'd been baptized, and he took communion every Sunday. And he was faithful to that group of people. In their obligations, he never failed them. But he had no peace. And Nancy, she and her friend, Sister Newman, Vesta, they went up to Greeley, to a rest home, where there was an old friend of Sister Newman's who went to the Nazarene Bible College out in Southern California years ago. And she had witnessed to her a number of times. How old was she, Nancy? About 96? All right. Now, she'd been a good woman, a moral woman, a fine woman, a respected woman, a very, very religious woman. And they were talking to her, and she said, well, how was it? She said, I hope I go to heaven, or anyway. Now, that's what legality does to you. You see, this preacher that was going to see you have your name removed from God's book, you see, that person never was saved. What is saved? Do you call, if you were up here in Washington Park and you'd gone down your third time and some good Samaritan came along and dived down there and got you by the hair of the head and pulled you to the top of the water and said, now swim ashore, I've saved you. He just prolonged your death. You see, that person isn't saved. They're not saved until you get them out on the shore. And it's already proven that you're going to sink because you're sinking. So you have no strength to go to shore, or you'd already done it. So, precious hearts, be reasonable, be simple in your approach to God. Believe what the Word of God tells you. And I've known so many like this over the years. I hope to be saved at the end, they'll say. But if we believe what God has said, and if we put our trust, we can rest in John 3:16-15. What shall separate us? Oh, again and again. But notice now this 10th verse, and let me call your attention to it again. But as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written. What? Think of what is written. Cursed is everyone who continueth not in one of them, two of them, three of them, four of them, in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Paul tells us in the book of Philippians that concerning the law, he was blameless. And then he tells us in the book of Romans, he thought he was, until he read, thou shalt not covet. Did you ever see someone covet someone else's automobile? Oh, I wish that lucky devil, I'll tell you, he has all the luck, and so on and so on. And you see, it isn't a matter of luck. It's a matter of faith. Where is your faith? Is it in God and His Son, Jesus Christ? Or is your faith in my keeping the law? You see, all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So no wonder this woman, believing what she believed, here she is, almost 100 years old. She has lived with the Nazarene doctrine all most of her life. And here she is hoping she won't make a mistake and not keep some little law. Well, you see, you don't have to go out here and kill someone to break the law. You just covet. You just want. Jesus spoke of adultery and so on. He said, he who looks on a woman He's already committed it. You see, he didn't have to fulfill the act in his heart. He has already committed the act. So what are you going to do about it? How many times have you, maybe something that's legitimate. You're hungry and you see somebody eating something and you wish you had what they had. That's covetousness. That isn't yours. That's theirs. So now don't go around here trying to tell me you are going to go to heaven by your own faithfulness. You're not. You're going to go by his faithfulness. He is faithful who hath promised you, who will also perform it. That's who's going to do it. So, but that no man is justified by the law, I'm reading the 11th verse, in the sight of God, maybe you will in your neighbor's sight, your wife's sight, your husband's sight, your child or something, but in the sight of God it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Now that's found in Habakkuk, and I'll say something and go back to this in a little bit. Let's go to the 12th and the 13th. Let's go to the 12th. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. You see, Jesus said, it's finished. And so I'm trusting him of myself. And is it my strength or anything that I do or don't do that is the final judgment about the outcome of my destiny? And I have known many of these. But what does Paul mean by the curse of the law? You see, most people believe that there is life in the law. But if you'll study the Bible, you'll realize death is in the law. If you don't get saved, death is in the law. Is it a curse to have good laws? Do you think it is? I'm grateful for many of the laws. I was thinking along this line, I thought about the first time I came to Colorado and came through here for, of course, the first time. I had an old Nash car and was pulling an old homemade trailer, and the best, and the dust storms were on in those days, and the best speed I could get out of that old thing was about 18 or 20 miles an hour. It didn't have a very powerful motor. But then later I got a good car, a much better car, and I got a car that would probably run 90 miles an hour. And I started out across Kansas, and I'm thinking I'm driving in Colorado, and there was a speed limit of 60 miles an hour. And I hadn't been across Kansas for a while. And I got out there, and there was a highway patrolman right ahead of me. And he was driving about 55 miles an hour. And I didn't want to go around him. I didn't know what might happen. And he reached out. I went on around him, and I got down, and I never could see a speed limit. And I made some investigation, and the speed limit in Kansas was good and proper. So I could have gone 90 miles an hour as long as I wasn't reckless. But now you try to go out through there, and the speed limit is, I believe, 70 miles an hour. But you see, down here on Broadway, you wouldn't want to, well, they do it, but I don't do it. It says 35 miles an hour. I might get over a mile or two sometimes, but I'm not watching it. But you see, that law makes me know that I can do wrong. I can't go down Broadway and pass a policeman and I'm going 60 miles an hour. I can't do that. He'll probably pull me in, and he ought to. You see, that's the law. The law, precious heart, simply brings out the reality of sin. Let me lead you to a few things here. And you remember the highest morals and ethical standards the world has ever known was first brought to the human race by Israel. Jesus called Israel the salt of the earth. But while it kept them from the sins of we Gentiles, it never produced in them other than a self-righteousness. As much as Paul thought he kept the law, it never produced a thing in him but self-righteousness and a hatred to wipe out them Christians. Do you know that? Is that the product of the law? Of course it is. You see, it led Israel to reject and despise and to crucify Christ. In fact, the Bible in Colossians 2:14 says he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. That is, the law barred anyone trying to go to God through the law. There's only one way you can go to God, through Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. No man comes to the Father but by me, he said. So, precious hearts, forget about you're going to get to heaven by trying to keep the law. And on top of that, you don't try, you do. So the curse is in the fact of continuing in all things that are written in the law. You see, Paul said, the man that does them shall live by them. But did you ever see the only man that did them? He gave his life to satisfy him for you and for me. God hath made him to be sin for you who knew no sin, that you might be made the righteousness of God which is in him. It never does say that anyone got to heaven by keeping the law. And again, I tell you, Jesus kept it, but he died then for you and me, and to make it possible for us to go to heaven. So note, when God gave the law, there was a promise to it in a sense. Keep it and live, Romans 10. Let me read that. Now, I think I'll take time to read that. Go to the 10th chapter of the book of Romans. And I'm going to start with the 5th verse. I'll read the 4th as well. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. See, the promise is there. If you keep the law, you can live by the law. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that in is the word of God of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, how is he saved? By doing this. Look, again, I've often said, if I could trim that little fingernail, there was a statement in this book, now there's only one way you're going to finally get to heaven, you've got to trim that little fingernail. You would see me strutting down the street of glory saying, I'm here by the work of Jesus Christ and my work. Let me tell you, you'd better start learning to give the glory to God and to his Son, Jesus Christ, now, because they're the ones that are going to have it forever. And there's no place up there for you and me to have glory unless he shares his glory with us. And that's what he will do. For with the heart, the 10th verse, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What do I have to do? You won't find it in this book that I have to keep the law if I'm a believer on the Lord Jesus Christ. Give you a little simple illustration. I think you'd all understand that. Let's say here Ernie has a place that would employ 3,000 people. And each one of us would go and get a job from Ernie. And we would agree at a certain amount for our labors, and payday came. And here would come Ernie, and he'd have an envelope for all of us. And he'd say to Chris, now, Chris, I'm just going to be very, very gracious. You've been a pretty good worker, and so I'm going to be very, very gracious, and I'm going to give you a great gift. Hand you an envelope, and you'd open it, and it would just add up to what you had agreed to work for. You'd say, wait, fella, you said grace? You said gift? I earned this. Don't tell me that you're giving me a gift and that you're being very gracious for the fact that I've worked hard and sweat and whatever doing this work. And all the rest of you, if you didn't say it, you'd think it. Isn't that right? Well, God again and again and again and again, through one or another, Jesus himself said, I know my sheep. I'm known of mine. I give them eternal life, not conditional life, not inconsistent. I give them my own life. That's the God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. They're the only ones that had eternal life. I had natural life. My children, I gave them my natural life. They could never go to heaven because their daddy is going to heaven unless they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ just like I did. You understand that? I'm doing my best to make it simple, but you've got to believe it. I can tell you about it, but you're going to have to believe it yourself. And it'll never be real to you until you grasp it and take it. So the law, verse 19, if you'll notice, and then I'll go back here in a moment. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hands of a mediator. And we're told that God is the one, and he's the mediator of this covenant, and that covenant that was given to Abraham, the law, which was 430 years later, could not disannul. How did Abraham get saved? The law wasn't even given for 430 years. See? That fella, did you ever notice the heroes of the Bible? You know, he told some awful lies. Abraham, that great guy, he said, now listen, you're a beautiful woman, he said to Sarah, and we're going down there into Egypt, and you tell that king you're my sister. Well, she was a half-sister. So he said, you tell him you're my sister. And God had to come to that fella in the night. He took her into his harem, and God had to come to him, and he said, now listen, you're fooling with another man's wife, and I'll kill you. And he comes to Abraham, and you see how the devil would have destroyed the thought of Isaac and the seed of Abraham. So the law was added because of transgressions. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse from us. And verse 11 tells us, the just shall live by faith. So I'm going to close this out. So how does one become just? Habakkuk 2:4 makes this statement, and you'll notice there are six words. The just shall live by faith. Let's break it up. The first two, the second two, the third two, and let me give them to you like this. The just. Romans 1:16-17 says the just. How does a man become just? How does he come to live? It's by faith. Now, shall live. The second two words. How is he to live? By keeping the law? By doing this and don'ting that and the other thing. Now, God forbid that we don't live the life of Christ. That's the seed that's in there. That and that seed will produce nothing but righteousness. That seed, if you go out here and live after the flesh, you will be living the death route. You'll be living to destroy what you could have and what you would be. But the just, Galatians 3:11, we just read it, 3:11, shall live. How do I live? It tells us who and how We are maintained. Who am I? How am I? How do I live? How do I go this pilgrim path? By faith. And then we come down to the last two words, Hebrews 10:3-8. Now the just shall live by faith. Our life is not a life of the five senses. What I mean, that isn't what we live by. We live by faith. If God said to, for an example, if God said to Joshua, he said, now you get these priests, one out of every tribe, and you let them have a rock, and you take them into that flooding Jordan, and when you step into the Jordan, it will back off for you. It'll make a way for you. So how did they go across Jordan? By faith. You put your confidence in God. He can do anything. Did you know that? Abraham, is anything hard for me? I told you a long time ago, I was going to give you a son. That's the seed, which is Christ. It's through him that you're going to have that son. And so now, by faith, Abraham, all I want you to do is believe me. All right, we get into the 10th chapter. I believe it's the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews. It says, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul will find no pleasure in him. Now, how are you living? Did you say, oh, Brother Hill, he can live by faith, but I can't. Now, wait a minute. God is no respecter of persons. Here's what you can do. Here's what you can do. Anything he tells you to do. Now, don't go out and try to tell him how to run your life. He's made a plan for your life long ago. And now the blessing of Abraham can come on us who believe. You say, what is the blessing? God said, in thee and thy seed, which was Christ, shall all nations of the earth be blessed. That is, by faith in Christ, who is the seed, all the blessings in the heavens in Christ are ours. We're told that in the very first chapter of the book of Ephesians. So verse 17 and 18, God's covenant is of absolute grace. There isn't a thing in it that he asked you to do but believe him. And the law that was 430 years later cannot disannul his promise. Not of human effort or something we can earn. I am what I am, Paul said, by the grace of God. He said, I labored more abundantly than all. Yet it wasn't me. It was the grace of God which was with me. Oh, precious hearts, I can't make you believe it, but I'll tell you, every one of you, every one of you are sons. You're no longer servants, but you're sons and heirs of God and joint heirs. If so be that you'll suffer with him, that you might also reign together with him. Did you know that Ishmael's, all of that trouble that's brewing over there, it's still Ishmael against Isaac. Do you realize that? Well, let's stand and be dismissed.